The first reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it said he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Speech in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel reading talks about Jesus as the bread of life, and I believe we have bread being made up the back, but it won't be edible. So, they're using clay, fast-drying clay, to make bread. So representation of, but not actual. But this is cool. Now, I spent yesterday at a friend's place. Some of you are aware that I have a young man staying with me who's been with me for a while now. It was his mother's house. She died about 4 weeks ago, and yesterday we went to clear her home. And going to her home, I've done this a few times. It's one of the privileges of ministry sometimes. You get to be there with people in the hardest time when they're clearing out the things of their loved one, and it's not an easy thing to do, is it? So we went to do this. It only took 3 hours. Her clothes were rags, and there wasn't much of them. She only had a few sticks of furniture. Most of them needed to be put in the skip. She didn't have anything much in her kitchen. A few cups, a few plates, and some pots and pans. She had her knickknacks, and her most precious things were the things her children had given her when they were young. And there was only a few of those. You know, the things they make in school that mums keep. And for all the world, walking into a unit like that, you would think that it looks terrible. But you see, my friend was not rich in this world. She was rich in Jesus. She loved the Lord so much. He was her whole life. She didn't want stuff because stuff is not useful in the long run. Somebody comes and cleans it out. She spent her life as an intercessor on her knees for others. She spent years working with the Sisters of Charity, Mother Teresa's group in North Fitzroy, with the needy, feeding and clothing people. She spent many years working in pastoral care, sitting alongside people in grief and illness. She worked for the things which were eternal. She was rich. She didn't have any money in the bank. She'd given it all away. She used to give it out to anyone who needed it, but she did keep enough to cover her funeral. That was all. But she was rich in the Lord. She's a woman who I spent many years working with. She had all sorts of other issues. She had anxiety. She often was crippled with it. And part of the reason why she was such an intercessor was because she couldn't get out her front door sometimes because the fear would stop her. And yet, in that house, she read scripture, she prayed, and if you asked her to pray, she would pray, and she would pray as long as it took to break through. She was rich. And her reward is with her now. Jesus had been on the other side of the lake. And on the other side of the lake, thousands of people had come to have healing. And he had healed as many as came to him. And then they were tired. And they'd had a very long walk, and a lot of them were getting weak. And so Jesus fed them, 5,000 men. They didn't count the women and children, so there's a lot more than 5,000 there. And he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Big miracle. Big miracle. Wish I could do that. There are times I look in my cupboard and go, have I got any loaves and fish? No. Nope. Oh, well. Anyway, he fed them. He had compassion on them. That's why he fed them. They needed it. And then he got in a boat and he went to the other side of the lake and he came back to Capernaum, which was basically his home base. And they followed him. Of course they followed him. They just got a free feed. They followed him. And they came across the lake, and here we have this chapter in John's gospel where these people who he has just fed come to him, and they come to him looking for more. More teaching, more of what God could give them. No, more food. Jesus knows exactly why they're there. And the telltale sign is in what they say and do. They realized he'd gone across, and so they followed him over. When they find him on the other side, they say, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" He goes, "Well, I just did, actually. But anyway," he says, "look, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." He knows what they're up to. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." He's giving them straight away a bit of a look around you and realize this is not about the fact that I just gave you a whole lot of food. There is much more to this. And he's basically just given them the clue to who he is, because the term Son of Man is a term for Messiah. And what do they say then? "Oh, good, we'd really love to hear more from you." No, they say, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" "Oh, well, maybe I can do it. It'd be really good, cool to do this. What do I need to do to be able to feed 5,000 people? That'd be cool." Jesus answers them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." He's not biting here. He can see what they're doing. They are trying to push him to do it again. Do it again. We want to see the big things. We want to see the flashy things. Quick food, fast food, McDonald's food. You know, the food that you get when you turn up at the McDonald's and it's cooked quick and you can eat it quick, and sometimes it's already cooled down between the fryer and your hand. Ever had those cold fries? Because for some reason they just seem to have this thing where the moment they get in your hand, they're cold. Don't understand how that works. Quick food. Feed us now, right now, immediately. Let's get it right. He says the work of God is to believe. "What sign are you going to give us then, so we may see it and believe you?" What sign? He just fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He fed 5,000 men and a whole lot of women and children. What sign? This is them saying, "Come on, do it again." They're pushing. They're looking for the sensation. They're looking for quick fix. They want to come in, get the warm fuzzy or the real amazing zing. They want all the amazing stuff. They're not looking for him. They're not really. And the sign they come up with? "Well, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness." Jesus says, "It wasn't Moses that gave you that bread, you know. That was God that gave you that bread. He gave that to you. My Father is the one who gives the true bread." And then he says to them that that bread which comes from heaven, the real bread, gives life to the world. And they say, "Oh, we'll have that bread. That sounds good." What does he tell them then? "I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, of course, he's talking spiritually. He's talking about that deep food which my friend had learned to eat every day as she read the Bible, as she prayed, as she spent time with God. Her soul and her body were fed in a way which meant that she didn't necessarily see the world the way that a lot of people do. Jesus is not fast food. He's not food that you just get. He's food like you might get in a restaurant. So you can go to Macca's and you get a burger and the burger's been done, put on the thing, the bun is thrown together, it's all there. Here you go. Or you can go to a restaurant and they may have marinated a really nice piece of meat and they'll have spent time getting fresh vegetables and all the other things. And you can get a burger and you'll get some chips maybe and you'll get some sauce and everything there. And that will have been done with quality ingredients, slowly cooked, beautifully organized. It's still a burger. But that ain't fast food. That's food made with love and care and properly prepared. And one has flavor because there's a whole lot of sugar and salt in it. The other one has flavor because it's been prepared with all of the flavors that the chef can put in. Macca's life doesn't satisfy. Have you ever had Macca's and about half an hour later gone, I need something else. You know what I mean? But if you go to a restaurant and have that burger, I bet you you won't be hungry after that. Most people live a Macca's life. They want all of the quick stuff, the good stuff, the great stuff. Yes, can I have this now? Oh, that's going to give me what I need. And they go looking for those things. And quite often we are taught to do that, aren't we? That's what all the advertising tells us. Get this thing, it'll give you this. Get that thing, it'll give you that. Oh, and if it's free or you get a free gift with it, that's even better, isn't it? If you ever have you ever seen an ad on Facebook or something or on or anywhere and or even on the telly, and it says free gift. You pay a bit of extra attention because you don't know what the gift is, but it's free, you know. Is it worth me spending a bit of money to get that? That might be a good gift, might it? I'll have that. It's all about the Macca's life, about the stuff. Jesus is not offering these people another fast meal. He's offering these people himself and everything that that means. He's offering these people what Paul has been talking about in Ephesians 4. He's offering these people this place where we live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, a life which is centered on one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. The richness and the depth of God is what he is offering them. It is a deeper meal. It is a meal prepared by the greatest of chefs. It is flavorsome. It will fill our lives. Even in the lack of everything else, this can make all of the difference. This is real food. It's soul food. It's the food which goes all the way to the bottom of the jar. It's not the food where you get to the bottom of the jar and you think, well, that wasn't much. It's the food where you come to the bottom of the jar and you say, fill me again, Lord. Spirit of God, come fill me again. Come fill me. Come fill me again. Come, Lord Jesus, teach me more. I need more, because it is absolutely, when you get in there, it will keep wanting, you'll be wanting more and more. You will be wanting more and more. Not because it's sugary, salty, fast, but because it tastes so good. And I'm going back to that restaurant. Oh, he's a good chef. And I don't care that it costs me a whole lot more than that. That is worth the price I pay in living out that life. That is worth it. This, not so much. Paul understands that it's really easy to sit in this place where we just take the good stuff and live out of that surface of how wonderful it can be. And indeed, when we first come to the Lord, often there's a lot of good stuff, isn't there? And all the way through the life with the Lord, there's a lot of good stuff. But I meet people sometimes who just go around from church to church looking for the good stuff. They want the cream on top. Was that a good sermon? Oh, cool, I'll go back there again. And then if the sermon isn't as good as the last one, they'll go somewhere else because they're looking for another one that's going to give them the warm fuzzies or whatever they're looking for, whatever that hit is that they're looking for. They're actually there for the surface. They're looking for fast food when actually you need to marinate a little. You need to sit with it. You need to let it sit in. Paul is talking to the Ephesians about this, where he says that the gifts were given for all of us to come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. No longer being children tossed to and fro. I don't know how much Macca's I've eaten just because I drove past one and the kids drove me nuts until I drove in and got them their Macca's. Yeah, no? Ever been in that? Can we have that? No, I'm going somewhere. Come on. Nieces and nephews, and, you know, when you're the auntie, sometimes you give in more than the mum and dad do. But anyway, blown to and fro. The stuff in the world, honestly, so many things will tell us how to live, but none of them will tell us how to truly live. So many things will give us something which looks like a philosophy, but it's empty words because it won't take you into the depth. It won't give you what Jesus can give you. By people's trickery, he says, we get pushed around, and we do. Free gift. Steak knives. There's more. Every wind of doctrine, people's trickery, craftiness, and deceitful scheming. Plenty of that around, huh? But always pay attention to the buts in the Bible. Not the buts, the buts. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and builds itself up in love. This is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the real food. The real food is in the body of Christ. The real food is in coming together. You know, it's the most amazing privilege that I have. I get to stand here in front of people who are here for that food. And I get the privilege of being able to bring what I can of that food to you. Praying that what I'm saying will be what God wants me to say, of course, because I'm a human being. I'm always going to put my foot down my throat at some stage, often change feet anyway. It is a privilege because, you know, my friend who had all of her troubles and yet lived for the Lord, I'm looking out at people who are living for the Lord. You're here. You're here, and there is so much of that depth of faith and life in this room. We are the body of Christ, yeah? And together, when we live for the Lord and we live together for him, we build the body of Christ where we are. We become people who eat real food, God's food, together. We do it every Sunday, but we do it at other times in Bible study, in prayer groups, in other services, in times together, when we meet with friends to pray, when we meet with friends over a cuppa, we fellowship and we build this up. And into this, we invite others. You know, you can go to Macca's, but hey, come to our restaurant. Come to this one, because this food, as Jesus is inviting those people, he says, I gave you fast food there. You come and get the real food, because this is what will sustain you for life. And that is who we are. What Jesus has done for us can't be done by anyone else. It could not have been done by anyone else. His blood shed on the cross sets us free in a way that nothing else can. What he has done, the life he's created for us, is his life through his death and resurrection. He gives us a life that cannot be taken away from us. You know, I can run out of money and not be able to even buy Macca's. Been in that position. Dim sums are cheaper. You can buy 2 dim sums and it'll be cheaper than buying Macca's. I've been in that position. I can run out of money and I can't buy food and I'll just go and find whatever's cheap. That's happened. But you know what? The life of Jesus, this food is priceless and I can't pay for it. I couldn't have. He paid for my food with his life. He paid for what we have with his life. And that priceless gift, that amazing gift, that grace that he gave has given us the chance to be where we are now. The most amazing thing. And he calls us to keep growing in it and keep loving one another in it and keep working in it, but also to make sure that we don't just enjoy it here and put up the signs and say, come to the restaurant. And we go out there and we say, come in. You know what? The food's free because he's already paid for it. Come and eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I will continue to help my friends sort out their mother's things. And our op shop will get a few things, not much. And if you need some incontinence pads, I have a lot unopened. I have a whole lot of other little things, but they're very useful things to have sometimes because sometimes you need that stuff and people need it and they can't afford it. But what I will not forget is the richness of a life lived for the Lord, which was so rich that she didn't feel the need for all the stuff. What a lesson I learned yesterday.